And also, I was going to say, as you pray for my ear, pray too that maybe my right ear, I would get a little hearing back. I have no hearing in this right ear. And there's a little hope that I might have some as this heals. So I figure the more people that pray, the better. And I do really appreciate your prayers for me. Okay, we're in John chapter 8 as we continue our study in the Gospel of John, and I'm just going to point out a few verses. Verse 12, then spake, and because we already read verse 12 to 31 or 32, so let me just pick out a few. Verse 12 of John chapter 8, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And then verse 58. Said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless now the reading of your word and now the preaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time of singing the truths of your word and seeking to glorify you in song and in fellowship. And now in the preaching of the Word of God, you have ordained preaching to cause us to grow and to challenge us that we might be more like our Savior. So help us this morning to glean and gain what we can from your Word this morning. Give me strength and help as I preach, and help us all as we listen. And if there be anyone here this morning who doesn't know Christ as Savior or is not sure that they have a heavenly home, may today be the day that they come to know Christ as Savior. So bless as we continue now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it goes without saying that we live in a dark world. But I'll say it again. We live in a dark world. I'm not talking about electrical lighting, but spiritual lighting and lightning. There's not much in the dark world. There's good and evil, right and wrong, black and white, light and darkness, Republican and Democrat. Light and darkness, Republican and Democrat. We have seen such a turning to darkness in so many ways in this world over the years and over the decades here in the United States of America. And the darkness of murder, the darkness of murdering the unborn children, a genocide, a travesty in our country. The darkness of murder, the dark evil of sexual perversion, of the homosexual lifestyle, adultery, fornication, confusing and evil transgender lifestyle, pedophilia, the darkness of lying, of anger, of gossip and slander, the darkness and blackness, the evil of sin that clings to our hearts and our lives so tenaciously and will not easily loosen its slimy, awful grip on our hearts. We live in a wicked world of lost people everywhere who are searching for happiness, for truth, but they're unable to find it because they are blind and they are groping in the darkness of sin, trapped in the snares of immorality and idolatry and all the unfruitful works of darkness. Why am I smiling? And then Jesus came. And then Jesus came. That's it. That's our answer. Light has sprung up. Jesus came as the true light. John 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness has not overcome it, is what it means. You would think that all the world and everybody would be attracted to the light. But the depravity of man's heart is seen in John 3:19. And this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. That was me. I love my sin. I love to live in darkness. I rejected the light. Though I could have come to the light before I did come to the light. But they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He hates the light because the light exposes the darkness of his sin, and he wants to hide his sin. But Jesus, the Word, dispels the darkness. It scatters. Darkness scatters and runs from the presence of the light of the world. 1 John 1:5. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is not one tiny speck of darkness in our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because he is light and no darkness is in him, what business do we have having fellowship with darkness, the unfruitful works of darkness? Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Sin, darkness, depravity has no place in the life of the Christian. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. One man said, all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. That's true. It can be totally dark, and you light a candle, and it's not totally dark anymore. Right? All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of one candle. The light, the darkness in this world can't extinguish your light, for you reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:8, for you sometimes were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. You are light, then show it, he's saying. Well, we come down to chapter 8 and the discourse of Jesus with the Jewish rulers, where Jesus presents himself as the light of the world. Previously in chapter 7, Jesus presented himself as the water, the living water, in John 7:37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That last day was the eighth day. Every day of the feast, of the 8 days of the feast, the first 7 days, the priest would take a pitcher of water from the pool of Siloam and pour it out in the temple on the altar. And that would remind the people that God provided water for their forefathers in the wilderness wandering. And then on the last day, the water was not poured out. That's the day Jesus stood and said, he is the water of life. So he's the water of life in the water of life in chapter 7. And then we come to chapter 8, he is revealed to be the light of the world. Not the water, but the light. You see, chapter 8 takes place at the same time, during the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, which took place, by the way, this past week, October 2nd to October 9th, I believe it was. It was celebrated among the Orthodox Jews. But anyway, during that feast, another event would take place. Not only when the high priest pour water from the pitcher into the temple, but the people would light four massive candelabras in the temple courtyard area. And the light of those four candelabras would actually light up much of Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem back in the early days was not that large. So I guess they can light up the whole city. And the candelabras were a reminder that every night for 40 years, God's pillar of fire would be with the Israelites. A cloudy pillar by day, a fire by night. And the fire would remind them of God's presence and protection. And verse 12 again, then Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So here's another I am statement of Jesus. And he just picks up where he left off in chapter 7. We had the woman taken in adultery in the first 11 verses, but now we come back to the Feast of the Tabernacles. But he says, I am the light of the world. There are seven times where Jesus uses the Old Testament designation for God, I am that I am. There are seven times Jesus claims this designation for himself. In John 6:35, I am the bread of life, which we already looked at. Now, chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. We'll see later in John 10, I am the gate. John 10, I am the good shepherd. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15, I am the true vine. And we'll consider those when we come to them. So on that eighth day, on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would not light the candelabra because they were waiting for the deliverer. They were waiting for the one who would bring light. They were waiting for the Messiah. The candelabras pictured the Messiah. So on that day, the eighth day, when it was not lit, that's exactly when Jesus stood and declared, I am the light of the world. In a way, he was saying, you don't need these material candelabras. I have come. I am the Messiah. I am the light. I am the life. There'd be no mistaking what he's claiming. I am the water of life, and now I am the light. I am your Messiah. And there was no mistaking of what he was saying. The Jews could not have missed it. So we're going to look at this rather lengthy passage in John 8, but we'll just focus on some of the verses, not every one of them. And in chapter 8, we see at least three claims made by Jesus. Let me give them to you, and then we'll go through them. Number one, he says, I am the light. I am the light, then I am the liberty, I am the life. He says, I am the light of the world, verses 12 to 20. I am liberty for those in bondage, verses 21 to 48. And then I am life for a dying race, verses 49 to 59. Jesus is in the court area of the temple. It's a large outer court called the Court of the Gentiles. That is the only part of the temple where non-Jews, where Gentiles could gather. And this is where the festivities of the Feast of Moons is taking place. And the Jews would sing and dance and eat food for the 7 days, and they would build moons, kind of like tents on the top of their houses or wherever, and they would camp out as commemorating the Israelites wandering in the wilderness in their tents, their temporary shelters. And they would say that God is our light. And they would quote Psalm 27:1 during this time, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Our Messiah is going to come, is what they were saying, but not yet. Little did they know, he was right there in their midst. And at the end of the festivities, the end of the lighting of the candelabra, that's when Jesus stood up and said, I am the light of the world. And that was a very startling thing to say. Nobody said that. You didn't claim to be the Messiah if you were not the Messiah. That was blasphemy. Of course, we know they accused him of blasphemy. And so they knew what he was saying. They knew that only Messiah could claim to be the light. And he added this, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me. You know, that's what the Christian faith is all about. That's what it is. That, boiling it down simply, to be a Christian is to follow Christ. A Christian is a Christ follower. So follow me. That's all I've got to do. Follow Jesus Christ. Whosoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We must follow. We have the light given to us by Jesus. We are light bearers. You say, well, I don't want to be a light bearer. Too bad. You are. You are. How's that light shining is the question. We're light reflectors. Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the world. Walk as children of light. You say, I'm so glad I'm saved. But do you show it by your life? Brother Jim touched on that in Sunday school this morning in the study of Romans. Living that life. Letting our work show we're believers, right? That light needs to be shining. Follow Jesus. Just trust him. And you'll no longer be in darkness. How beautiful and wonderful is that? And I can. I can. And every one of us can. We can have the victory. Well, needless to say, this kind of talk didn't set well with the Jewish leaders, according to verse 13. They knew what he was saying, and the debate is on. And so, and they said, he needed a witness according to the law, and he had none. So they're saying, we cannot accept your way. We have a law that there needs to be two witnesses. And Jesus responds in verse 14, I don't need witnesses. I know what I'm talking about. And Jesus also adds that his Father agrees with his witness. So he does have two witnesses. But it would be like me saying to my ear doctor that did my surgery, I tried to say this. I don't think I need this surgery. Maybe I ought to get a second opinion. He said, you go ahead and get a second opinion, but you need the surgery. You need the surgery. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized I had to have that surgery. He just smiled and said, you need the surgery. I know what I'm talking about. But they won't recognize the Son, and thus they can't recognize the Father. They are blind. They have no sight, no insight. And they're blinded to the light. So verse 13, the Pharisee saith unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And he answered unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know where I came from and whither I go. But you can't tell whence I came and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. Also it's written in your law, the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. And then said they unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered and said, you know neither me nor my Father. If you've known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. It wasn't time for him to be put on the cross yet, and that hour would not come 1 second before God willed it for it to come. Well, anyway, I'll just read some more of this passage and make a few comments before moving on to the next point. Verse 21, Jesus said unto them again, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And I said unto you, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Verse 21, you shall die in your sins. This statement is made by Jesus 3 times in these 4 verses. And also, yeah, in verse 21 and also verse 24. But what a sobering statement and warning if they reject Christ, which they have rejected him, and they are rejecting him, and they will not see life, but they will face the wrath of God, the judgment of God against sin. He will go away by way of the cross and be resurrected and ascend into heaven, and they cannot come there because they believe not. Neither can you or I come there if they don't believe in him. They will not be with him in the glory of heaven. And what a sobering truth is that those who reject Christ will suffer. They will suffer the consequences of their sin. Eternal separation from God. By refusing the light of the world, they doom themselves to the eternal darkness of hell. You are going to die. But please, please, do not die in your sins. Jesus died for your sins, that you need not die in your sins if you give your sins to Jesus. If, he said, you'll die if they believe not. That is a great if of the gospel. If they would only believe, they would live. Verse 30, many believed on him. They chose the if of believing, not unbelief. Those many have eternal life and will live with him forever. Most gave a mental only assent to him, but didn't believe from their hearts. They would not believe and receive him as their Savior. So, again, we see three claims made by Jesus. Number one, I am the light of the world, verses 12 to 20. Then we come to number two, I am liberty for those in bondage. I'm going to start at verse 31. Verse 31 to 48. I am liberty. I am light, now I am liberty for those in bondage. We got it made, don't we? I need light, I have it. I need liberty, I have it in Jesus. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Well, they were in Egyptian bondage, and in Babylonian bondage, in Roman bondage. And Jesus answered in verse 34, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. And if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, Christ offers liberty, freedom to those in the awful bondage of sin. Freedom from the shackles of sin and condemnation. We're told to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Galatians 5:8. Liberty. It's ours. Am I rejoicing in it? Am I enjoying it? The truth shall make you free. We seek the truth. Liberty. There. I'm trying to think now. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemn. Not condemn. The woman taken in adultery. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. There's no condemnation in them in Christ Jesus. Christ offers liberty. The truth shall make you free. We seek the truth. The world follows after. The world chases after lies, deceit, corruption, hypocrisy. We get it every day on the news, from our news media, from our politicians, all the time. We just get sick of it. I'm tired of even turning it on anymore. You know? They have no place in the life of the believer. We're to think on these things that are true and real in the life of the believer. And we're to think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just and of good report. Whatever is true means whatever is real. Things that really matter. That's what we're to think on. We're not to go chasing after the lusts and pleasures and temptations and ungodliness of the world. But so many are slaves to their sin. Are you free from that sin which would have you in bondage? Oh my, how bound, how entangled we can get to sin. Are you free from the sin that has had you in bondage? We can be slaves to a whole slew of sins, sins that dominate, you know, that control our lives. The sin of worry and anxiety. We become slaves to worry and temptation, slaves to money. We never have enough money, slaves to alcohol, drugs, slaves to pornography. Oh, what a grip pornography. What a stranglehold it has on so many men and Christian men. We Christian men are not exempt, and you men well know that. Sometimes you take every moment that you can to look and watch once again, because this awful grip is taking you down. It'll take you and me down to shame and destruction. We sin, and we're all guilty of some sin. But praise God, we can be free from these sins by the liberty we have in Christ. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Before I was saved, I got saved in 1974, I was 22. Before that time, I believe I was seeking the truth. I was looking for answers, but I couldn't find it. I was so tired of the facade that we all seem to be living in. I saw it everywhere. It seemed to me that everybody just pretended to be happy and fulfilled. And I knew better. And I knew they were pretending, because I knew they weren't really Christian. But deep down inside, something was missing in their lives, and for sure in my life. And when I came to Jesus with my sins and confessed Him as my Savior, I became free. Free at last. I used to think, when I was lost, oh, I'm free, you know. I'm free. I can take drugs. I can smoke marijuana. I can drink beer. Nobody is going to stop me. I can grow my hair long and it blows in the wind. I'm free. And I look back and think, I was such an idiot. I was a slave to those things. I couldn't get rid of them. But I became free. For I found the truth, or I should say, the truth found me. Jesus found me. And for the first time in my life, life made sense. The new life made sense, and I was finally and forever free. Free. Verse 37, Jesus said, I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen of my Father, and you do that which you have seen of your Father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You knew the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither I came of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Jesus is implying that the God of Abraham, whom they claim is their father, is not. In reality, He is not their father. He is carefully leading up to this startling statement in verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. What a statement to make and to speak to these Jewish leaders who could put him to death. You and your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But Jesus offers liberty, liberty to those who are in the bondage of sin. And he frees you and me from our bondage. These men refuse, but instead chose to follow the lusts of your father. Where are you? Who do you choose? Or do you know the liberty in Christ? Three claims made by Jesus. I am the light, I am the liberty, and number three, I am life for a dying race. I am life for a dying race. Verses 49 to 59. Let me read a few of these. Verse 48, then answered the Jews and said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil, a demon? And Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So verses 48 to 50, they say he has a devil, a demon. And all along they know, because they're trying to send him up so they can kill him. And Christ counters with, I don't have a demon. Who do you think you are? And verse 51, he shall never see death. If a man keep my saying, in other words, if he believes my word, he will never, never, never see death. Jesus offers life for a dying race. They say that he is being incredulous or skeptical by saying that. Why, even Abraham and the prophets are dead, so how can he not as well? How can this Jesus not die? Even Abraham died. Well, what foolishness. Little did they know, here is a Messiah, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God in their midst. What foolishness. And I love verses 56 to 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Abraham and Elijah. No, it wasn't Abraham. Was it Moses and Elijah? Moses. Okay, Abraham might have snuck in there too in that meeting. But your father rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Here's another I am. In other words, Jesus said, I existed before Abraham. What a statement. But he is life for a dying race. He is life for a dying race. In verse 24, we read, I say unto you, you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. Then verse 51, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He said over and over, you shall die in your sins. You shall die in your sins. If you keep my saying, you shall never die. You shall never die. See, individually, they would die in their sins. But he's not talking about the Jewish race dying out, even though he's speaking to the Jewish leaders. God will never let that happen. You know, the Jewish race has been around since Abraham, some 4,000 years ago. So for 6,000 years, the Jewish race has existed. That is a miracle. And they have been conquered and scattered for centuries, for millennia. And yet God regathers them every time. And they're back in the land now in unbelief. They're back in unbelief, but they're back. And a great testament to the truth and existence and reality of God and his word. For he promised that the nation of Israel would always be. But they are dying for lack of spiritual life. If a man keep my saying, my word, he shall never see death. Otherwise, Jesus is saying, he shall die in his sins. It's black and white. Either you're for him or against him. Either you have life or you're going to experience eternal death. But if a man keep my word, he shall never see death. Otherwise, he'll die in his sins. Jesus is God. He is the exclusive, the only Savior of the world and for the world. That's not a very popular view today, but it's true. He is the only Savior. There's only one in the universe. Not Allah, not Joseph Smith, not the Pope, not Buddha, not Donald Trump, not the church, not anybody else. All faiths do not lead to heaven, do they? Nobody experiences forgiveness except through one, and that is Jesus Christ. He is God. He is deity. He makes that clear in verse 24, verse 28, and verse 58. I am. I am. I am. The sacred name for God. I am God. I am that I am. I existed before the world was created. Abraham saw him in heaven. There was no mistaking what Jesus was saying to them. And yet they picked up stones. Can you believe it? They picked up stones. Others had said, no man. The guards went to arrest Jesus, and they came back and said, no man spake like this man. Nobody ever talked like this man. Nobody ever taught like this man. What he says has a ring of truth in it, unlike the Jewish leaders. So they picked up stones, verse 56. But that's it. It wasn't this time. He would not die by stoning. But he would die by the cross, by being lifted up. And then verse 56, the end, when he went through the midst of them and he passed by. He just disappeared. He was there and boof, he just left. Well, in conclusion, three things. Number one, if Christ is the light, point number one, he was the light. If Christ is the light, we need not walk in darkness, right? So have nothing to do with darkness. But we're so good in adapting to our surroundings, kind of like a coal miner adjusting to the darkness. They get used to it. They get used to being in the dark. We don't want that to happen. But we have this attitude, well, you gotta go along to get along. You gotta go along with the crowd to get along with the crowd. Not in the Christian life. We've got to swim upstream and not be so quick to adapt. Or somebody said, all is gray, everything is okay. Well, all is not gray. There's a right and a wrong, a black and white, light and dark, not gray for the Christian. Number two, if Christ be the liberator, we need not walk in bondage. Sin will shackle us. Stay away. Stay away. Let it not come near. Oh, we live in a sinful world. We live in a body that is prone to wander, prone to sin, but we've got to fight it. We've got to battle. But Christ is our liberator, so we have victory in him. Sin will shackle us. Somebody said, sin takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you ever planned to pay. Sin takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you ever planned to pay. I know that by experience. We don't have to live in bondage. We choose to do so. We choose to sin. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And number three, if Christ be light, we said if Christ is light, we need not walk in darkness. If Christ be liberator, we need not walk in bondage. And thirdly, if Christ be life, we need not be haunted by death. We don't have to fear death. Don't have to fear it. It's like this coronavirus. The media would have us be scared to death. We don't have to fear it. We don't have to be afraid of it. We can respect it. I recommend that. Respect it. Do what you feel you need to do, right? That's a whole different thing, though, being afraid to die. Because we're going to die. We're probably going to die of something besides coronavirus, by the way. Most people do die of other things. But we don't have to fear death, because Christ is life. He that believes, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, none of us is in a hurry to die, but we don't need to fear when that time comes. In fact, we can welcome that time with open arms, say, take me, Lord. I long to be with you. I long to be with you. Paul said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And yet he recognized, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful. God's kept me here for now. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's follow him. Let's be like him. We can be, if we will be. God help us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these beautiful, beautiful passages of scripture that are so helpful to us. So inspiring and so redeeming, Lord, and we just thank you for your promises, and thank you for your promise to help us to indeed overcome the darkness, walk in the light, live a life that pleases you and honors you, and yet when we fail, the light that will cleanse us and redeem us and keep us going. Lead and guide us, Lord. Bless as we close now. May we give our hearts to you, Lord. And thank you for loving us, keeping us. Thank you above all for dying for our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing hymn is 375.